This is Sean Doyle, your host of Aligned, the podcast for executives of emerging middle market companies and executives who are looking for new ways to leverage sales and marketing. Luke is joining us, and we're going to have a little bit of a twist on our normal chit chat. Luke has a storied career of selling. He's sold from inside sales, outside sales. He's managed regional and national and international sales. He is the type A, go get it, Enneagram 3 sales guy that we all want working for our companies. Luke?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome.
Nice intro.
So I got an idea.
Okay.
So I've got about 5,000 engagements and 30 years of doing stuff in the marketing world. You've got chops in the sales world. You're the millennial. You're a little younger than me.
That's
so
right.
15 years. But both of us have surpassed that 10,000 hours to be expert line, I think, in the sand. So I want to talk about sales and marketing alignment. I'm going to try to stump the chump, and you're going to be the chump,
okay?
Right? So let's just see what happens. I've been reading a lot, thinking a lot, and we're doing a lot of work around helping companies with sales and marketing alignment. One of the ideas that I think is pretty interesting, and you see it throughout culture, if you're in a restaurant, the front of the house, the waiters and servers, and the back of the house, they have to dislike each other. If you're on a college campus, the faculty and staff don't talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Yeah.
If you've got oil and water, they're going to separate, So sales and marketing has kind of got that same thing. It just seems like those two functions weren't designed to coexist. I think that's wrong. And I think that interesting conversations that are occurring around sales and marketing alignment are in pursuit of fixing that. But that's what I want to talk about, that oil and water kind of thing going on. What's the stupidest thing you've ever seen marketing do? Something that made you lose respect, maybe even early in your career?
I think the answer there, and again, these questions, just for everybody to know, I don't know what these questions are ahead of
That's
time.
Fair.
So it's fair that I'm...
It's easier to stump you this way.
Yeah, I'm just pulling this, shotgunning this. So I would say the dumbest thing I've seen marketing do is marketing and imagery around a product and it not even fitting the market segment they're marketing to. So I think from a sales point of view is you're spending all this money, energy, effort, and time on marketing, and you don't even know the customer base.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I would even agree with that. I don't think I'm going to fight you on that.
Okay.
In fact, one thing we do at our shop is I require people to go out and ride with sales.
Yeah.
Because I think marketing that sits in an office and they do art, that's
right.
What you get. You get art. You don't get something that helps sell. So marketing shouldn't be. And a lot of this depends on the point of view you have of marketing. If you think marketing is something that your nephew can do because they just graduated college with an art degree, or your administrative assistant can fill in the role, then marketing is going to be terrible and sales will not trust it. I do think that most sales and marketing alignment comes from a lack of marketing earning the trust of sales. So we're not going to argue on this one.
Okay.
I did well
on the first question.
Well, I guess so, yeah. A lot of companies that are moving towards sales and marketing alignment are also pursuing this idea of revenue operations. For those of you who that term is a new one, and it's a rapidly developing field that's been largely enabled by marketing technology, it's the role that sits between marketing and sales throughout the entire customer decision journey. It's typically supported by various marketing technologies, and it's designed to create a unified experience around the customer. That is going to be my next point, and my next question I'll throw out of this one. If we're going to come in and help a company provide sales and marketing alignment, the first thing we're going to do is create a common understanding of the way the consumer goes through the journey of buying your product or service, and then create a common language between the sales and marketing departments so we all understand what's going on at each step and understand what each other's roles should be. You ever experienced that?
Well, at our current company, we've implemented that. And I think it's been successful with the two departments aligned. So
what happened when that effort occurred? Did sales change their view of how marketing could serve them? Because I know you worked in a company that matured a lot in its marketing acumen over the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, I think, our company was a very sales, alpha sales group. And I think it was probably more marketing molded around the verbiage and the communication language of sales more than sales to marketing. So, and I don't know if that's the right way or the wrong way, or if it's just one of the ways.
I guess it's just one of the ways. Marketing rarely has the skills in smaller entities to lead that dialogue. Sales typically has all the power, right? You're a salesperson who became a CEO.
Exactly, yeah.
Very rarely does a marketer become a CEO.
Yeah.
So sales just gets people's attention. And sales has this neat little thing where they can directly attribute revenue.
Exactly.
So if you were to ask me, what do I hate about sales? What's the dumbest thing sales does?
Yeah.
I would say it's the lack of understanding of marketing's role and the claim of 100% attribution. I mean, marketing gets constantly thrown under the bus of, you didn't do anything.
Right.
So we can help. Marketing's designed to help in a very cost-efficient way customers to go through the early stages and keep these highly paid, highly commissioned, killer sales reps focused on late-stage deals. Well, that's a great way to lower the cost of sales, and it's a great way to make your sales force more efficient. But inevitably, when sales closes something, they look at marketing and say, well, you didn't have anything to do with this.
Yes.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah, I think guilty is charged, Sean.
Of course you're guilty. What would you do to fix that?
Well, I think, and I'm not going to claim that that wasn't my view when I was a younger salesperson. And I think, yeah, absolutely. It's easier for sales to claim 100% ownership of any deal that closes.
Because they closed the deal.
Well, they did, yeah. But I do think the more that I've peeled back the layers, and some of it's working with consulting groups in the past, has helped me move into an understanding of the place for both of these and the alignment of both of them. But yeah, early on salespeople, and some people still struggle with that, they don't understand what marketing does. They think it's a waste, or they didn't do anything a part of it. But you're right, it plays a crucial role, but that's a common mistake salespeople make.
All right, so I think you could categorize the strain between sales and marketing in two big camps. See if you agree with this.
Okay.
Economic and cultural. And you're an expert on sales culture, but we never talked about how marketing fits into that sales culture. That's probably a good conversation for the future.
Sure.
But let's start there. So the two functions attract very different types of people who spend their time in very different ways.
Hmm.
Right? The marketing folks probably tend to be intellectual. They probably wear weird socks, right?
Sometimes, yeah. If it's in style, right?
If it's in style, right. They're gonna be, I hate to use the word creative, because I think salespeople are incredibly creative.
Sure.
But they tend to have the stereotypes of the creative person. They are going to be just different than that salesperson. How would you describe a stereotypical salesperson?
I think the stereotype would be that they really are not sleazy, but more of, they can mold into whatever you need them to be. They're chameleons.
Chameleon.
They'll sell whatever they have to do to make money. You know, they don't believe in what they're selling as much as just to close the deal. Right?
They're not in the office. Right?
They're not in the office. They get treated better than other employees, or at least a lot of sales companies I know.
Yeah.
You know, people will say, oh, the salespeople, they don't have to work as much, and they got the cushy job. And
interestingly enough, though, sales gets most of the pressure because they've got a hard number to hit, and marketing typically doesn't, which I think is an error, right?
Sure.
Marketing should have hard numbers to hit.
Yeah.
Marketing, especially with the advent of marketing technology in the last decade or so.
You can track it.
Man, can you ever? You should have specific hard numbers for marketing.
Yeah.
And I would say one way to create marketing and sales alignment is to have some shared revenue and shared attribution early stage goals.
Yeah.
Let's get the two groups together to talk and determine together what are the numbers we're going to measure.
Yeah.
I rarely see a company that has a marketing dashboard. I almost always see companies that have a sales dashboard. They can give a pipeline report pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But I rarely see, even less than I see a marketing dashboard, I rarely see a sales and marketing aligned dashboard.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they have one dashboard?
Well,
isn't
that's
it one function?
So our KPIs report, Sean, is marketing and sales are on the same tab.
That's great.
For that exact reason. So we have, you know, the lead generations, all of the different marketing KPIs, or even website traffic that we're tracking all the way through sales meetings, sales quotes, pipeline, and closed revenue, all those things. So you're right. I agree wholeheartedly that really leads to more alignment between those two.
And I think as a company grows, it needs to grow in the type of marketing leadership. Typically, people invest in sales leadership much quicker because it's easy to track and it's easy to attribute. Most sure. founders and executives get sales way more than they get marketing.
Right.
One of my missions in life is to improve the way executives understand marketing's function, and that is going to happen. So marketing can have a lot, marketers can have a lot of education. I think some of the better marketers would be marketers that have MBAs, not art degrees.
Yeah.
And I think marketing should look like math. So if you know, I published a book, Shift,
yeah.
S-H-I-F-T. And if you go on Amazon.com, there's a chapter dedicated to four questions you should ask a marketer before you hire them. And yes, that was a shameless plug to sell my
there
book. But it's good. The questions are good because they're not the standard questions you think about as an executive.
Marketing.
Yeah. You end up hiring too low. So a marketer that has a good formal education can add a lot of value in much more sophisticated ways. Marketing should be more than outbound communications. And if you're going to leverage the company in more powerful ways, for example, even the next step up from a craft or an art kind of mindset about marketing is at least getting into the P's, right? The price, the promotion, the product, pipeline. I mean, marketers that aren't talking about channel sales and how do you help your channel distribution, or marketers that are not looking at different ways to price your product, marketers that aren't evaluating product need and looking at innovation, those are not the right marketers to have in your office. If you don't have that, then that's the reason you don't have sales and marketing alignment is sales doesn't trust them and they shouldn't, right? They don't need an art director.
No, yeah, or they don't value it for sure.
Right. So culturally, those are definitely two different groups. So there's a way to think about culture. And Luke, you and I did a series of podcasts on culture. And I think everything in that podcast would work to apply to marketing as well. So if you haven't heard that, they should go listen to you because Luke was very good, very clear, very concise. It was a good series of four 15-minute episodes. So the other aspect of the strains of marketing, I think, did you agree, by the way, cultural and economic are the two kind of basis?
Yeah, I thought that made total sense to me. So I'm not going to push you back on that.
Okay, well, good. Well, let's talk about economics. So if you, let's just use some crazy numbers. And B2B, which we tend to focus in, is, I don't know why I said tend to focus in. That's what we focus on.
Yeah.
You know, 3% of revenue is a pretty easy number to use. Do you have a number in mind that you look at sales and marketing out of a gross revenue or range?
No, I don't. Not that we don't have one defined. No. How do you define that out of curiosity?
Well, it's, you know, 3% of revenue is a pretty easy number to come up with.
Sure.
How do I get that basis?
Yeah.
Usually from government data.
Yeah.
SBA publishes it. But both government, maybe it's the IRS, somebody who's looking at your K-1 could figure that out. But yeah, so there's some standards that make sense to follow. So Luke, let's imagine we've got a company and we look at the numbers and 3% of their revenue is around $1 million. We're going to divide that $1 million up between all that marketing has to do and all that sales has to do.
Okay.
What do you think sales is going to get, typical company?
I would say 80 to 90%.
I'd agree. That's been my experience too.
So 10% for marketing. Yeah, that
right.
Sounds about right.
You know, interestingly enough, let's flip that. If we gave sales 10%, do you think they could perform?
No.
No, absolutely not.
No
so
way.
Why do we think marketing can perform with these pitiful budgets? I'm not saying you need to spend money with me. I'm saying you can't undervalue something and under budget for it and under hire for it and then say, gosh, marketing doesn't do much here. I mean, that's crazy.
That's a great point.
That's the way we live, though.
Yeah.
It's the way we live. So, I mean, how do we overcome some of these economic steps? One of my clients, a neat guy, his marching order is always incrementalism. He runs the marketing at a $300 million company. It's earning respect. The marketing department's earning respect. It's been a sales-driven company. Incrementalism is really just simply a model of, if I give you $100,000 to achieve this specific result, then that gives me the equipment to go back to the board table and say, I need 200 now. I need 300 now. And just incrementalism. So let's not start by asking for half of that sales and marketing budget. Let's start by defining the roles and how we work together.
Yeah.
We do something called a sales barrier audit, and we'll have to do a story about that sometime. But the simple story of a sales barrier audit is if you look at the way marketing and sales should work together, revenue operations and marketing technology sitting beside them, and in between them, then you've got the ability to start evaluating where monies need to get spent well. Sales can handle the whole thing. I would argue that you could shut off the marketing department. Sales could do all the early stage work. You know, I would call it bludgeoning your way to revenue. And because there's so many people, you'd have to call the 30,000 people in your market segment or however many people are in your segment. But you could do it, right? You wouldn't need marketing. You could do it all out of the sales department. But
sure,
sales can deliver a lead much, much, much less expensively than, marketing can deliver the lead much less expensively than sales can. And sales is always going to be closed deals much, much more effectively than marketing can. Marketing doesn't know how to close, right? So
right. Or that's, yeah.
So let's go back to that 90-10 split that we just made up. So now we're saying that marketing should be responsible for communicating to a large group of people, designing, developing, pricing, creating the product mix, and then bringing late-stage deals for 10% of what sales has. We've got to rethink the economics.
Yeah. You know,
that's creating a divide. And I'd suggest incrementalism. So if we look at the types of relationships marketing and sales has, I'd say there's three different types. There's this undefined group. I think smaller companies haven't even really thought about how sales and marketing should work together. It's just undefined how it all works. The next step could be an aligned sales and marketing alignment. You know, there's more boundaries. They're talking. The groups are joint planning and training. And sales and marketing are both using the same language. We use cognitive marketing as a model. And that creates a language that's very specific. Go to Fitzmartin's website and download or read something about cognitive marketing, and you'll see how a language can be created between sales and marketing. And then the highest level of group is what we would call a revenue operations group. I mean, they're fully integrated. Revenue operations breaks down the silos of marketing and sales in different groups and pulls them under one leadership, and they share structure. Revenue operations supports sales, but it's part of this rise or fall together culture. And it keeps coming back to culture, doesn't it? So I'd say that this idea of sales and marketing alignment is something that's worth pursuing. There's money to be made for small business, emerging business, and it's a very natural space. What would your words be, your recognition of the problem, or your words be to an executive that's going, maybe I don't need to keep going the way I'm going? Sales and marketing alignment might be worth it.
Yeah, I think, I've learned a lot just listening to you talk through this. And I think I identify with some of those mistakes, especially as a younger professional. My advice would be to begin measuring some of these, asking those hard questions that you mentioned earlier about what is the split of budgets that I put towards sales and marketing? And am I asking marketing to perform at a high level, but not giving them the resources to do it? I think those are the advice steps I would give, is to begin that journey. And I think you find the results that you're talking about when you begin to ask those questions.
Great. I would add to that two things. One, I would get marketing out of the office. Sales won't mind. So if people work together, if they co-locate together, that's really an aggressive idea. Let's put a salesperson and a marketing person together in an office. Cats and dogs.
Yeah.
But what would they learn? What would they learn about each other? They'd learn they're human. They'd learn they're smart. And marketing would have a lot to learn. And I think sales might even learn something.
Absolutely.
Maybe, Lou. Maybe.
Yeah, no, they will.
So I think that all that together becomes pretty engaging to get marketing out of the office, get them out in front of customers. I sat in front of a prospect of one of my clients the other day, and I learned about 6, 7, 8 pages of notes, including a whole new idea of how we could go to market, by sitting with one customer for lunch for an hour and a half. So you got to get out. Marketers have got to get out. Require executives, require your marketing guys to get out. The second thing is, look at your budget, not by the two departments, but take the customer decision journey and look at what you're spending at each step. You know, as I was saying, the marketing can spend a lot of money early stage, creating awareness. Sales can spend a lot of money late stage, closing deals, traveling. But in the gulf in the middle is where money needs to be spent. Typically, when we do a sales barrier analysis and we do this process of breaking down budgets by the customer decision journey, we discover there's a disproportionate weighting. If marketing has 10%, then there's a problem. If marketing had 90%, I'd say there's a problem. And this vice versa with sales. So I would say those two steps would be great first steps to take. That, and then got to go listen to Luke's sales culture episodes. Those were good too. And apply that to your marketing. So all that said, sales and marketing alignment is worth performing an audit, taking some time to think and really evaluate whether you want to grow. And the average national number is 16%. If you create alignment, 16% bottom line growth. That's a good number to pursue.
It's a huge number, yeah.
Luke, thanks for letting me try to stump the chump. I don't think it worked, though.
I enjoyed it, Sean. Learned a lot. Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you soon.